there is more to this life, if there is more, let me see. If there is more to this life, if there is more, rescue me.
Imagine coming in here and there was no food, no water, nothing.
Supermarkets between Ayr and Cairns were packed
are
with
already low in food,
which have now claimed rice, seven lives. Coffee, another sugar, 288 people have been injured in the demonstrations against the rising
prices. The clashes were sparked by a 30% rise in bread prices, a huge hike for a country with an average wage of $37 a month.
The result is
and on the commodity markets, food prices soaring to levels never before seen.
There's more bad news. You know, if I went shopping and there was really nothing on these shelves, I think I'd panic a bit. I'd be thinking, what's going on? I mean, this is how I survive. And we can't eat plastic. Food security will be the greatest challenge to civilization this century, with food shortages leading to higher prices, political instability and mass migration, warn scientists, farmers and academics. Is this where we're headed? What's going on? Who's in control? Can't happen to me? Or could it?
According to the chaos theory, a butterfly flapping its wings here in the Amazon could change the climate of the entire globe. Well, that seems a bit of a stretch, but what's happening just up here, this is easy to believe.
Obrigado.
A few weeks ago, this was lush rainforest, but look at it now. and it's happening across Brazil at a rate of more than 1,500 football fields a month. Why? Well, 350,000 more people are born on the planet every day, so we need a lot more resources. Officially, this forest is protected. It's illegal to log it, but that doesn't stop the demand. And for most of the locals, this is how they survive.
We cut down the forests, use what we can and burn the rest, which pumps carbon into the atmosphere. We exploit people and resources. But that's okay, because we want cheap food and even cheaper toilet paper. Do it in bulk. Keep it cheap. Spread it around the world.
We genetically modify our crops and pump hormones into animals. It's supply and demand. We're in control. Or are we? These crops are short-term. They wreck the soil, so we have to fertilise. It's got to be artificial because the natural stuff's almost gone. This soil's now exposed to sun, wind and rain. This leads to erosion. The fertilisers pollute the rivers. This poisons the water, kills the fish and anything else that drinks it. And once we've used it up, guess what? We have to cut a bit more forest down.
At current clearing rates, 50 to 100 species of plants and animals become extinct every day. And animals like jaguars, the toucan bird, and unique monkeys like the golden lion tamarins become endangered. These forests, the lungs of the earth, have shrunk to just 6% of the earth's surface.
This has major effects on weather patterns, rising sea levels, and natural disasters. Is this where we're headed? What's going on? And who's in control?
No, we're doing a pretty good job of destroying the environment, but we're doing an even better job of destroying ourselves. It seems like our world's literally falling apart. I mean, look at the way we treat each other. How many of us are feeling used and abused? Unhappy, lonely, afraid. You know, we're connected to more people than ever before, yet we still seem to feel isolated. It seems that people only care about themselves. We're getting more greedy than ever. The rich are getting richer and the poor, well, no prizes for guessing, they're getting poorer. It seems like while half the world's starving, the other half's overweight. You know, the US alone throws out $43 billion of good food every year. That's enough to feed a lot of hungry children. And the richest 500 people in the world have more money than the combined income of the poorest 416 million. I thought slavery was history, but turns out there are about 27 million slaves across the globe. From child porn to the sex trade and sweatshops. And the average price for a slave? 90 bucks. No, when I was a kid, the worst thing we got in trouble for was chewing gum or smoking behind the sheds. But today, teachers are dealing with stuff like child abuse, depression, drugs, alcohol, pornography, rape, bullying. You know, is this really where we're headed? What's going on? And who's in control?
Hey, go! Hey, go! Hey, go! Hey, where are you going? Go! 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 Get a peek!
Oh, man!
Steve, you come in.
12, 15 is the last set. What do you want to do?
I am the target.
At 15, 30,000.
One thing we've now discovered about the world's economy is that those controlling it are rolling the dice. It turns out it's a game with dire consequences. It used to be that when a bank, corporation or a country collapsed, well, that didn't necessarily affect me. But now it seems like something over here crashes, interest rates skyrocket, or property prices collapse, and I could lose my house. Makes you wonder where it's all headed, doesn't it? Lindsay, why are we in this mess, do you think?
Well, I think a big portion of it, we can blame on the consumers. Now, over the past several decades, consumers have ramped up debt without any consideration of how to pay that back. Specifically in the U.S., we've seen the American consumer use their house as a virtual ATM machine. We got very comfortable borrowing against this appreciating asset, which we denied could ever fall in value. And we used it to finance vacations, car purchases, college tuition, you name it. We finally reached a tipping point, and we haven't been able to borrow against our homes anymore. Gasoline prices, commodity prices in general, have taken a big bite out of household budgets and corporate margins. We've seen natural disasters come in and play a role as well, again, taking a big bite out of global growth.
Lindsay, how is this impacting the third world, where they haven't got the capacity to be able to pay those extra monies that are required?
We've seen China, we've seen India, we've seen Brazil begin to hike interest rates in order to combat that inflation because the emerging markets simply can't afford to go to the grocery store and pay those elevated prices. Now, particularly here in the U.S., energy prices have been doing the exact same thing. In fact, the average household is spending an additional $200 just to fill up their family car at the pump. So again, that's taking billions of dollars out of other goods and services and moving it into energy purchases.
Well, what about natural disasters? I mean, they're hidden. We don't know what's coming.
True.
And they will affect the economy, won't they?
Sure. They'll affect the economy in terms of adding volatility, specifically to the commodity markets, on a month-to-month basis. But I think the type of disaster that I'm more concerned about is the political disaster, the civil unrest. When I talk about this, I specifically mean what we're seeing in Africa and the Middle East right now. Again, these uprisings, which could cause further disruptions to the oil markets.
Lindsay, are you pessimistic about the future?
You know, I'm pessimistic about the future in terms of short-term growth opportunities. The household balance sheet, bank balance sheets, there's still a tremendous amount of debt that we have to work through.
Some of us spend all our years trying to accumulate wealth. And for what? In a moment, it can disappear. Maybe this is what Jesus meant when he said, "For what has a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
There's no doubt about it, this is entertaining. There are 1,700 casinos in Las Vegas alone, with about 36 million people visiting the city every year. So why are they here?
Money.
Yeah. To dance, perform.
Entertainment capital of the world.
It's a great place to enjoy yourself and just have a great time.
Hey, we're going to see Danny and Marie tonight.
Yeah.
We went to MGM Grand Hotel party. We went to Jet, the nightclub. We've been to Caesar's Palace to shop.
So amongst all the bling and all that cool stuff, yeah. What about life? What is it in life that worries you?
The tornadoes and everything.
World
it's
conditions.
Devastating right now.
Yeah. And of course, the economy isn't at its best.
And we're not gamblers. So, I mean, we're having fun walking through these, but no thanks.
Just losing the family, I guess.
Yeah, I could agree. The problems that exist in our society and trying to help families and people deal with their lives and certain things that are going on for them.
We work in children's services, so it's about, you know, like understanding the issues that affect children and to see the children that are involved or exposed to a lot of negative or very violent and abusive situations and addictions is very stressful to see children go through that.
Oh, you see the little cards and the flyers and the moving billboards that are going out that are inappropriate and stuff for kids' eyes. So, you know, I just, you know, not definitely an area I would definitely want to raise my kids in, but we're here.
So what worries you about them seeing that being exposed to?
I don't want them to think that it's acceptable here.
Some people come here for fun, some come to change their lives. But for others, it's an obsession or an addiction, a way to escape the reality of their life. And with all the bad news and bad stuff going on in the world every day, why wouldn't you want to escape it? You know, we're stressed, we're depressed, we're fearful of the future. What we really need is a little hope. But all we seem to find is a headache in the morning.
This is Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, one of the biggest cities in the world, home to about 13 million people. Our world's population is growing so fast that we are literally running out of food and water. Not to mention, where do we all fit? Steve Johns, head of the biology department of University College in London, says that humans are 10,000 times more common than we should be. He goes on to say that without farming, the world's population would probably have reached 500,000 by now. There's probably more than 500,000 people in that little area of Rio just there. We're running out of space for farming and we're building cities on the best land. But then there's more of us that need food and less of it going around. So the price goes up and some of us can't afford it. It makes you wonder what's going on, doesn't it? Where's this all headed? Is there anyone in control?
Watchmen wait for the morning light.
I know what you're thinking. All right, Jeff, seriously, what are you getting at? If you pop up telling me another fact about how doomed the planet is, I'll scream. Just stop. But hang on a moment. If I knew that your house was going to burn down soon, would you want me to tell you or not? Even though it's bad news, I think you'd want to know about it, right? I know I would. Why? Because it would give you time to prepare. You could make sure your insurance was up to date. And even more importantly, you'd make sure that you and your family were safe. Let me ask you this. Would you consider me a friend or an enemy for telling you? Sometimes when we see the world getting worse, we don't want to hear about it. But these are signs of hope, not of despair. Jesus said, when you see all these things taking place, know that my coming is near, even at the very door. It's like the darkest part of the night takes place just before the dawn. And that dawn is a new world where there'll be no more sickness, pain, or death. So what did Jesus say would take place just before he returns? You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places.
Jesus also talks about the state of the world right before his return. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The world just before the flood was violent and corrupt. In fact, it was so bad that God said, enough's enough. This world needs a brand new start.
The Apostle Paul gives us an insight into the morals and values of society in the last days of Earth's history. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Sound familiar?
And what about signs in the religious world? Well, there's plenty of them. Jesus warns us, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.
One of the results of these false Christs is that people become cynical. And as a result, any discussion on the soon return of Christ is seen as absurd. Jesus made it very clear that no one knows the day or the hour of his return. But he has given us clear signs so that we will know when his coming is near. And one of these signs specifically deals with people ridiculing the signs and the promise of his coming. Notice what the Bible says. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There is one specific sign that is taking place right now. Jesus said, and this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, communication and technology have exploded to the point where this final message of hope can reach across the globe and everyone can hear it. This is not a secret message. It's not for an exclusive club. This is an open invitation for all of us. So how important is it for us to recognize the signs of Christ's return? Well, have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost in a big city? and not knowing where you were. What you do is you look for a signpost or landmarks to find out where you are. And as soon as we see a sign that's familiar, we have a real sense of relief and hope. This is true whether we're walking in a big city or stepping out in faith in a spiritual journey. That's why the signs of Christ's return are such good news. They tell us where we are and what lies ahead. Some may think that these signs are not new. We've had wars, famines, and natural disasters for thousands of years. But let me tell you what's different about today. Extreme weather events and natural disasters are increasing in frequency and intensity, says the chairman of the United Nations Panel on Climate Change. They're happening more often and they're stronger than ever. And all these signs in society, finance, natural disasters, the environment, relationships, they're all happening together now. Jesus said, when you see all these things, know that my coming is near. And we can trust Jesus because what he said would happen is happening before our very eyes. You know, everywhere I look, I see signs that hope is coming. The rescue Jesus promises is on its way. And what a promise. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now, that's a future to look forward to.